Turn with me to our scripture text this morning, which is taken from the Gospel of Luke. Again, we're reading the Christmas story in chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. It's on page number 1591 in your pew Bibles, if you want to turn to it there. Also, you have a bulletin insert that has some sermon notes and fill in the blanks if you want to follow along that way. Well, let's look together at the familiar story again in Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Life can change in a moment. For better or for worse, everything can change. Like when a person says yes or no to a marriage proposal, or when a child is born, or when a loved one dies, or when you start a new job, or above all else, when you say yes to God and receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. While many turning points in life can be gradual, there are some that are dramatic U-turns, and Ebenezer Scrooge in our Humbug to Hallelujah series that we've been doing this season underwent a radical, abrupt change, and things were never the same. When Scrooge went home from work on Christmas Eve, he expected nothing different than any other night. For him, Christmas was just a poor excuse to pick a man's pocket, since he had to pay Bob Cratchit for a holiday on Christmas. When Scrooge awakened following his holy hauntings, he was really awakened. I have another video clip which I'd like to show you of A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. Watch as we play this.
Mr. Cratchit, a word with you. What do you mean by coming here at this time of day?
I'm very sorry, sir. I'm behind my time.
Oh, yes, you are. Indeed, you are.
It's only once a year, sir. It's only once a year. I was making rather merry yesterday, sir.
I'll tell you what, my friend. I'm not going to put up with this any longer. And therefore... I'm going to raise your salary. Ha! Merry Christmas, Bob! Bob. Merry Christmas that I have wished you in many a year. I'd like to help your family, if you'll let me. I will raise your salary, and we will discuss your affairs this afternoon over a Christmas bowl of smoking bishop, Bob. Make up the fires. And before you dot another I, Bob Cratchit, buy another coal scuttle.
My uncle was better than his word. He did it all and infinitely more. And to Tiny Tim, who did not die, he was a second father. He became as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as the good old city knew, or any other good old city, town, or borough in the good old world. Some people laughed to see the alteration in him, but he let them laugh, and little heeded them. His own heart laughed, and that was quite enough for him.
Come along, Tim.
It was always said of Scrooge that he knew how to keep Christmas well, if any man alive possessed the knowledge.
Come, young man.
May that be truly said of us, and all of us. And so, as Tiny Tim observed,
God bless us, everyone.
Scrooge awakened that Christmas morning with a joy and love for life that he absolutely could not contain. It bubbled over. He immediately took over the role and part of a secret angel. Remember how the story goes? He immediately took that part and had the largest prize turkey delivered to the Cratchit family for their Christmas dinner. Then he sought out the gentleman whose charitable request he had snubbed the evening before, making a generous contribution and truly stunning them. And Scrooge also mustered up the courage to attend his nephew's party, offering his apology and seeking full reconciliation with Fred and Fred's wife, whom he had never met. Scrooge's actions need not be viewed as some sort of penance, as if they were serving to make up for, in a meritorious sense, his previous actions. These were genuine expressions of the Christmas spirit as he was moved from humbug to hallelujah. As we complete this series, From Humbug to Hallelujah, based on David Maines of Mainstay Ministries series, we come to the real test of Scrooge's conversion, as we talked about last week. Now remember that Charles Dickens didn't intend to teach a full doctrine of Christian theology, salvation, or conversion. When we speak of Christian conversion, for example, we know that it comes only by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, not by our own works or our own efforts to turn over a new leaf. Scrooge's conversion can best be understood as an expression of the fruit of salvation, not its root, not the root of salvation. It is an expression of a changed life, the new life in Christ that comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. Through Scrooge, Dickens shows us how to live out what we say we believe And he shows us how the spirit of Christmas, the Holy Spirit of Christmas, and the message of Christmas gospel can and should change every aspect of our lives. Scrooge said, "I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all year. I will live in the past, the present, and the future, the spirits of all who strive within me. I will not shut out the lessons that they teach." Just what does Scrooge mean when he says he will live out the lessons of the past, the present, and the future? How does he change from his humbug worldview to one of hallelujah? How can we keep the spirit of Christmas alive in our lives as we move from Christmas into the new year? A hallelujah life, I like to call it. It's a great way to see ourselves living out the gospel. A hallelujah life, first of all, trusts in God to redeem our past. A Christian life, a hallelujah life, in praise of God, trusts God to redeem the past. And I can think of three primary ways of dealing with the past. First of all, you can regret the past. The humbug life is lived in the land of regret, wallowing in sadness over opportunities lost or mistakes that were made. The hallelujah life, on the other hand, learns from past mistakes. Losers can become winners as we learn even from our failures. In our guilt, we find God's grace and forgiveness released in our lives. In our weakness, by God's grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we see God's strength revealed in us. We can regret the past, or we can forget the past. We can forget all about, try to forget. We can choose to live in the land of denial, anesthetize our feelings through substances. We can become lost in our activities, even relationships with people. We can compartmentalize our lives to lessen the conflict or tension between our values that we claim to believe and our behaviors that conflict. We can escape trying to forget with selective memory or forgotten pasts. Rather, we should live a hallelujah life, which understands that God's truth is really what sets us free from the chains that have bound us in the past. We can face the truth about who we are, where we've been, and embrace God's truth. For Jesus said, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." You can regret the past, forget the past, or you can let God redeem your past by faith. Luke chapter 2, verse 11 is what I read today in the town of David. A Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. A Savior. In Matthew 1, verse 20, to Joseph, Mary's betrothed, you are to give him the name Jesus, for he is to save his people from their sins. His people includes the people of God called by his name back in that day and all of us who trust in him today. Those who seek the Lord, you and me, if we trust in Christ. You see, the hallelujah life, hallelujah, forgiveness from the penalty of sin's guilt. Hallelujah for the freedom of the power of sin's tyranny in our lives. We can let go of a painful past and let Jesus set us free by His amazing grace. We can find release and relief from the chains that we've allowed to bind us and walk in the freedom of the Holy Spirit. The Hallelujah Life trusts God to redeem our past, and the Hallelujah Life makes Christ the priority of the present. The priority of the present through the Christ-centered life. I have three present choices also. First of all, to make Christ the priority in your present life. You can follow your own desires in contrast. Many people follow their own desires like Scrooge, driven by greed and self-centered motives to do whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted, to get whatever he wanted by any means that he could, despite the impact on others. Greed and avarice brought him financial wealth, but left him socially, emotionally, and spiritually impoverished. You can follow your own desires in the present, or you can let others control you, as some do, some driven to always please people rather than honor God, some driven by what others might think of them in appearance management, some driven, obsessed by the expectations that they perceive from others, formed by peer pressures. The Bible says don't be conformed by this world. For the Hallelujah Life is released in the freedom of God's grace and acceptance through Jesus Christ. You see, you can all choose the freedom of serving Christ as a better alternative. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." My theme verse for this coming year is Psalm 62, verse 1. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. The place of duty is a place of vision in Christ, the powerful principle of life and conduct of every day in our present lives. Can be summed up in Paul's admonition in Colossians 3:17, "And whatever you do, whether in word and deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." If you make New Year's resolutions this year, why not make a hallelujah faith promise to the Lord? A hallelujah faith promise. Ask Him to guide your goals in prayer like this: "Lord, with your help this coming year, I will do as you lead me, go as you guide me." And then set a specific goal. Then set a date for 3 months from now to see whether your hallelujah spirit is still thriving in that situation in your present. Look and follow up. So, there are three ways to deal with the past. There are three ways to deal with the present. The Hallelujah Life trusts God to redeem our past and makes Christ a priority in the present. And one more thing, the Hallelujah Life follows Christ boldly in the future. The Hallelujah Life, the life of a Christian filled with the Spirit and full of the joy of the Lord, follows Christ boldly into the future. And sure enough, there are three ways to deal with the future. Some people try to ignore the future. Live like there's no tomorrow. Scrooge in our story lived like there was no day of reckoning. Amassing, accumulating things to what purpose? Only to leave them behind. hallelujah life by contrast learns to live in the light of eternity. As Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 9 and 10, so we make it our goal to please Him. There's a resolution. We make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. So we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each day we may receive what is due Him. Each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. You can ignore the future and any accountability yet to come, or instead of ignoring, you can worry about the future. Some people worry about the future as we approach a new year. Perhaps for you, the new year is filled with fears, apprehensions, and anxieties. I struggle with this. This is a challenge for me as I look ahead. Personally, I am learning lessons of faith myself. So this poem that I read, check this out. This spoke to me. The month after Christmas. The month after Christmas. 'Twas the month after Christmas, a gray, dismal time. Not a dollar was stirring, not even a dime. The kids were decked out in Old Navy, Calvin Klein's, while keeping an eye on the latest designs. I worried all night as I lay on my bed, and visions of poor houses danced in my head. I woke at first light in the house I might lose, having completed a brief winter snooze. When out on the lawn there arose such a noise, it seemed like an earthquake, a bomb, or some boys. But what did I see on the street near the curb? My hideous postman, I'll call him just Herb. More rapid than eagles, this doom bearer came as he whistled and shouted and called them by name, by Visa. Now Bloomies, now Saks, and now Sears, on Macy's, on Penny's, I'll drive you to tears. As I pondered with torture the bills that I owe, a thought came to me that I thought you should know. No matter how much we may buy or may own, computer or clothing or cellular phone, the thought of the season's not price tag or gift, nor bundles nor presents our children cannot lift. True Christmas is simple. It's Jesus, God's Son. He came down to earth to become the dear one, who saves all from darkness, from self, and from sin. He quietly asks, why not let me come in? Allow me the chance to create a new you, to help with the burden that's burying you. Then Christmas will be so much more than just mirth. It will be the day that you find the new birth. You can anticipate the future in holy hope rather than worry about it or ignore it, no matter what your past or where you are now. Trust Christ with your life. God has a plan for your life that is filled with love and with hope. Emmanuel, God is with us and surely will be tomorrow. Courage, yes. Faith in Him, for He has you in the palm of His hand. Yesterday, today, and forever. For He holds the future. 220 plus year after year. Dickens concluded the Christmas Carol with these words. It was always said of Scrooge that he knew how to keep Christmas well. If any man alive possess the knowledge, may that truly be said of us and all of us. And so, as Tiny Tim observed, God bless us, everyone. May the same be said of us, and even more, that we know how to honor Christ and to bring God's blessing to everyone on every day. Jesus Christ redeems us, indwells us, and leads us into a life abundant and eternal. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You for the difference that You make in our lives. And we come to You acknowledging our past, living in this present moment in the power of Your Holy Spirit, with the hope of what You can do in us and through us as You renew us, transform us, renewing our minds. Help us, Lord, to live as people redeemed by the blood of Christ, that our lives might reflect a witness of joy and peace, that Your grace might be spread throughout all of our contacts and conversations. Help us, O Lord, to live for You today, tomorrow, into the new year, and forever. In faith, in Jesus' name, amen.